Acts is telling us in this chapter 12 of a radical turning point in the history of the whole church. These seven men were at prayer. Prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius, Menahem, who was a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch. Now that's interesting, isn't it? He's up there with Herod and all those people, and Herod was behind or agreed to the crucifixion of Jesus. And now here he is, you know, renouncing all that and being one of this group up in Antioch. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." This is the turning point in the church, right? Because the work to which the Holy Spirit has called these two is to preach the gospel to the non-Jews. This is unheard of. For almost 2,000 years, the idea was that these chosen people would be the ones one day to instruct the whole world in the will of God and teach them Torah. And now these two are going out to go find them, look for them, preach to them. And the Lord, in his power, will change them. So then, completing their fasting and prayer, they laid hands on them and sent them off. That's this beautiful gesture that's very, very biblical. See? So they went forth to Seleucia, sailed to Cyprus, went to Salamis, and they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. But the people in the synagogues were not all Jews. They were devout people who were searching. They're called God-fearers or proselytes, and they were attracted to the Jewish certitude. There's one God, and we know him. And they did. And so that was very powerful. So the first movement of the apostles was to go to the Jewish synagogues and proclaim Jesus to Jew and Greek alike. Now, in the gospel, we've moved over now to chapter 12. We're going through John. You see, the synoptic gospels, I think I've told you this 100 times before, but the synoptic gospels trace the life and teaching of the Lord. Huh? One year it's Matthew, the next year it's Mark, the next year it's Luke. Well, where does John go? The whole of the Christmas season and the whole of the Easter season is where we read John, because he is the, as Origen says, the first fruits of all the scriptures are the gospels. And the first fruit of the gospels is the gospel of John. But no one can understand this gospel, you see, unless, like John, he's leaned on the breast of Jesus and taken Mary as his mother. So if you want to get to know John's gospel, you got to do those two things. And that, if you know who Origen is, Origen was known in his day as the man of diamond. He was so tough. But this is where his toughness. He was tough in the sense that he was an unbelievable, prodigious worker. I would love to tell you about Origen, but we'll all be late for whatever we have to do. So I'll just go back and look at this text for a moment and we'll talk about Origen some other time. But he's a hero, and he died a confessor of the faith. The great founder, in a way, along with Irenaeus, who preceded him, of the whole intellectual dimension of the Christian faith. Anyway, whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. Remember when Philip said, "Show me the Father"? And he said, "Philip, don't you understand? If you really see me, you see my Father." Well, then we pray for that. Let us see you. You see, I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. Isn't that true? If we're really living by faith in Jesus, we're not walking in darkness. It's just our spirits are alive. We know what's going on. If anyone hears my words and does not observe him, I do not condemn him. For I did not come to condemn the world, but to save it. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke. Why? Because the word that Jesus speaks is what? Salvation. And if you reject it, you reject salvation. You work your own condemnation. And that's what our Lord is telling us, you see. And it, the word, will condemn him on the last day. Why? Because I did not speak on my own. Where am I getting these words? From the Father. Remember, I am infinitely and eternally related to the Father. You see, the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak, and I know that his commandment is eternal life. That's what the Father wants for us, eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me. Now just think about that. You say, what humility? No, it's more than humility. It's reality. The Father, as the great theologians tell us, the Father is principium deitatis. The Father is the principle of the deity. They're all equal. They're all co-eternal. How can there be a principium and a principiatum? Love. Love. See, we say God is agape. We don't mean God. We mean the Father. The Father is agape. So he loves from all eternity. And he reflects himself as the Son. And the Son answers that love. And the Father gives love. And that's the Spirit. And so we're beginning to get a little lesson about reality. You see, the deepest thing about reality, the highest thing about reality, is the most blessed Trinity. And just think, folks, we're on our way to be with him and see him for all eternity.